Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, we're in the New Testament, in the book of John. If you're in a place to grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
Man, what a great time. What an exciting time to live. I know we can get focused on all the disaster and all the struggle and all the hardship. I know we can get shifted into that. And there's nothing wrong with God blessing and the abundance of what you might have, right? That's not what it's all about. And it's not about if you're struggling in poverty. That's not what it's all about. It's all about who Jesus is in our life. You know, the people during the time that we're about to study, the people had a lot of needs. They were very distraught, and they had kind of come around, and they'd seen Jesus healing. They'd seen Jesus' miraculous touch, and a lot of things were happening in their culture. And they had embraced, you know, not really who Jesus was, but what he could do for them. And, you know, I fear that sometimes this permeates around in Christianity sometimes, and it's more what God can do for me. So God's this genie, and I just rub the lamp, and I'm wanting to get something from God. And we see that that's kind of the mentality of the people gathering around. They have needs. Now, there's nothing wrong with coming to Jesus with your need. That's awesome. God's all for it. That's not the issue with this. But it was more that they were just gathering around to get something from him. Now, when we gather around and we want to bring our need to Jesus, what we want to do is we want to be with Jesus, and then we want to, because he loves us and cares for us, just like our loving Father loves us and cares for us, because he loves us, because we know he cares for us, because we know he's got our best interests in mind, we bring our need. Because we know he loves us and wants to care for us and meet that need. But we're not just getting together with him to get the need. You see, there's a difference. There's a difference in this. So we want to be with Jesus, and then we want to express our need to Jesus. And God wants to minister in those times. He wants to do a work through that. That's kind of to set the stage. That's kind of what's happening as we start chapter 6. And we just have a small portion of scripture this morning. Well, in our terms, a small portion. In a little sermonetti group, they might do much less than this. 21 verses seems like a smaller portion of Scripture for us. Chapter 6. So the earlier mentions that we talked about, that was all on the house. That was all free. Now we're getting into the Bible study, okay? I hope it piques your interest and stirs your heart to just be passionate for Jesus. That's my hope. You see, I don't care really that much about your political view. I really don't. I just don't. I don't care that much about a lot of stuff, but I do care about one thing. I care about your heart for Jesus, because Jesus got a heart for you. That's what I do care about. Everything else, God will sort all that out in the end. I'm not worried about that. Oh, isn't it going to be great when we get to the other side? Isn't it going to be grand? It's to see our Savior on the throne, ruling and reigning, loving us. Oh, great things ahead. I digress. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude, in verse 2 of chapter 6, followed him, because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Now, Jesus has kind of been ministering, as we saw at the latter part of chapter 5, and there's this great multitude that's kind of pushing around him and trying to get to him. But notice their reason. The great multitude followed him. And it says because. So we know why they're following him. They saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. They saw what was going on, and they desired to get something from him. And it wasn't necessarily just to be with him, but they just wanted something from him. You see, it's kind of, we need to flip that around, and we want to follow close and be with Jesus, knowing that he wants to minister to us, but that we've gathered with him, not just to get something from him, but to be with him. Just to be with him. We sung that. We sing it from our lips. Just to be with you. Just to be with you. This is what's really important. We were getting right, we were down south, and we were kind of closing out, finishing up some little projects on a home that we had had while we lived down there. And the boys all through high school had that house, and so it was a house that we had lived in for several years. Any place that we lived for more than 2 years was very many years for us. That was just our, because that's how I made a living, you know. I'd build something and I'd sell it and fix it up. And the joke is well, everybody gets nervous as soon as Dad gets everything finished up, because we might as well not even unpack those boxes because we're moving. You know, that was part of our life. But this house, we actually lived there for a little bit longer than the usual. And so we were kind of closing some things up down, you know, finishing some things up because the house is just about to be sold. And so kind of a mixed bag, you know, while we're there. It's kind of a mixed emotion. You know, we're moving on to close out that chapter completely. But there's a lot of memories there. But, you know, it's funny. I was driving home and I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, you know, it's just a shell, really. We find home in our family. I'm just talking about our family. We find home to be wherever we all are together. That's the honest truth. Kind of sounds kind of corny, I know, but it's really the truth. We just kind of find home wherever we are. A few years ago, Lo had an emergency appendectomy, and so we had all got gathered, and it was on a Friday night. And or actually a Saturday, right after she had surgery on a Saturday, and we'd gathered together and we'd gotten some sandwiches, and we were sitting at the hospital, kind of out in a, you know, like maybe the main entrance area or something. We'd sat there and we were just eating and stuff and talking and everything, and it was like, you know, our family was, our home was where we were. We were there together, and it was just, and it's that sense. You know, the same thing happened when my daughter-in-law was in the hospital. The same thing, we'd kind of gathered together, and it's just, that's just what we notice in our family. So it's not necessarily the structure, and I see that. Isn't that great? Isn't that great how that's transferred into our gatherings? It's the church because you're here. See, because we're the church. And because we want to be with him. We want to be where Jesus is, and Jesus is wherever we gather all together. He's with us, in us, all the time. And wherever two or three are gathered, there he is in the mix, in the midst of them. And so, you know, if we just think about that, isn't that fun to kind of transfer that thought out? And that as a family of believers, wherever we all are, even if they don't like us doing baptisms up at the pool or anything anymore, in the public pool, you know? I haven't worked through all that yet. Still processing that. It just makes me want to do that more, you know. It's just a bad thing. That's the bad side of Jim Stewart that you got to know. It's horrible. It makes me want to just circumvent it somehow, figure out how to go around it, you know. Well, maybe we just won't tell anybody what we're doing. We'll just go do it and dunk people down and come up, you know. I think they should post signs. No baptisms allowed. If they don't want that and they think it's some big deal, they should just post them. I don't know how we, let's move on. So chapter 6, verse 3, Jesus went to be up there just to be alone on the mountain there with his disciples. The Passover is drawing near. Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Something interesting about Jesus. Will you flip back with me to Mark 6, verse 35, real quickly. Back up just to verse 34, will you? Mark 6, verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things.
Day was spent. His disciples came near to him. This is a deserted place, and it's already the hour. And so he talks to them about getting them something to eat again. Similar portion of Scripture. Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude coming toward him. He had compassion on them. He saw them as sheep. I think this is interesting. Jesus sees them as sheep. And Jesus doesn't, he knows, Jesus knows everything. He knew that a lot of these people were gathering for the wrong reason. He knew that they wanted something from, he knew they weren't just there just to be with him. He knew what was going on. But how did he handle, he saw them as sheep. So did he get out, cut down a limb and get a switch and he's ready to just beat them all? You dummies, why are you coming around just for this, you know? I mean, does he go at it that way with them? He loves them and he feeds them what they need. The shepherd feeds the sheep. You want to be a good shepherd in your home? It's not filling up the refrigerator. You want to be a good shepherd in your home? Feed your wife the Word of God. Love her the way Christ loves the church. You want to be a good shepherd in your home? Do the same thing with your kids. Love them. Feed the Word. This is what the good shepherd does. He knows why they're all there. He knows the misunderstandings, but look at what he does. He feeds, he cares for, he's there to nourish them. He wants to meet their need. Isn't that great? Jesus is he had compassion. He saw them with the right heart and the right eyes. May the Lord help us when we look around us. I am just daily thinking through, what are we going to do to continue to reach out to our city? What are we going to do? How are we going to approach it? And I'm watching God put pieces together. And I'm excited about the potential opportunities to continue to reach out, to bring salvation, the gospel, the good news to the city around us. I think God's going to just blow our minds. That's what I really think. I think God's just going to pour out his Spirit and do a radical work, and I'm excited about it. And we just need to be diligent, stay on the course, and let God have his way. Let him do it. It's exciting. These are great times to be alive. Jesus, looking out. We could look out in our city today. I've pointed out some of the issues, but we can also look out and say, God, what would you have us to do? How do we love them? How do we do this? Well, you just got to build a moat. You got to get a big tractor, fill it with alligators and sharks, you know, and you get your drawbridge and you cross over and roll up the drawbridge. Don't let anybody near or in. Is that what the church should do? I don't think so. I think we're going to have to go out with the gospel and we're going to have to present it. And we're going to have to let people hear the truth, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That's one of the reasons I'm so excited about the opportunities we have to reach our community ultimately through broadcasting and stuff. That's one of the reasons, because it's an opportunity just to get the Word of God into people's lives. And from that, we're hoping that God will spring forth other opportunity. We just got to let God have his way. And so Jesus here, he wants to meet their need. And he looks at Philip. Now, why did he look at Philip? He said to Philip, why is he talking to Philip? Well, Philip's from around there. So is Philip going to go into Practical Philip? I know the area here. I know where the perfect bar and grill is. I know exactly where we can get a good pizza. I know where, you know, Philip, he's from the area, you know? Is that what Philip's going to shift into? He said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do and how he was going to go about it. But he wanted to see what Philip would do with this situation, how Philip was going to handle it. Wanted to let him exercise his faith a little bit. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are these among so many? What is this? We got some fish and some loaves, but what is this amongst so many? How is that going to meet that need? We can look around at ourselves. We can look at the vast need of our city, and we can feel like that. What is this among so many? The need is so vast, and the need is so great. But are we looking to us to meet that need? I love the fact that Andrew continually was bringing people to Jesus. We've talked about this many times. This is one of my favorite Bible stories, and I say that every week, but this does happen to be one of my favorite. I just love the fact that Andrew's just a cool guy, man. He's kind of a people dude, and he probably made friends with this little guy, you know? He's probably just hanging out, talking with him. He's just kind of a people guy. Andrew brings Peter, and Peter gets saved. And Andrew's just cool with the shadows, man. He's not worried about it. He just keeps bringing people to Jesus. It doesn't matter whether it's his older brother or it doesn't matter who. He doesn't care who it is. He just keeps bringing people to Jesus. What a great thing to make as a habit, just to be bringing people to Jesus. He says, man, this little guy I met, what is this amongst this vast, great need? You and I can get focused on what we have to present, or we can do exactly what this lesson teaches us to do. And Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now, there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number, about 5,000. So they only numbered the guys, so there's probably at least 10,000 people there. If there's 5,000, because there's women and children, so that bare minimum, there's that. And it's just a large crowd of people. Now remember, Jesus is he's wanting to feed, right? And look at how he does things kind of decently and in order. Isn't that awesome? It's kind of decently and in order. Our little tiny guys meet in the rooms over to the other side, not because we don't love them. We want them to be ministered to in an environment that they can grow and they can flourish and that they can develop in their relationship with the Lord. And Jesus wants us to grow, but distraction's a big human condition problem. And, you know, I don't even hear kids very much, like on the plane when they're crying or anything, because you know what? They're not mine. It just doesn't worry me. It just doesn't bother me that much. It's not mine. It's not my responsibility. But man, when any of my 3 were carrying on or something, I was all over it, you know? It's a parental thing. It's just one of those deals. And I guess when you get a lot older, then all of them just bug you. I don't know. But I haven't gotten to that point yet. I don't even hear it, but if it were my own, so I think that's the same in our gatherings. And so we kind of have this, everybody's getting ministered to, hopefully decently and in order. We see that the Lord said, hey, get everybody sit down in the grass out here. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, so Jesus took what there was. What are these among so many? Whatever it was, he took what it was, and he blessed it. He gave thanks for it. Key is, get it to Jesus. Whatever it is, just get it to Jesus and let Jesus do something with it. Even if it seems like it's not enough. Even if it seems like, what would you do with this? Man, may the Lord help us to see past ourselves and just to trust him. Because God can do awesome stuff if we get it into his hands and let him have it. Jesus took the loaves, and when he'd given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples. So Jesus blessed it, and we get it to the Lord. We give it into his hands, and then he blesses it. He gives it back to us as his people and says, now you do this with it. So we're still a part of all this process. We're a part, we're engaged in this ministry to the masses. We're engaged in that. All of us are engaged in that because we bring whatever it is that we have to him. And we ask him to bless that. Lord, you take it. It's yours. And he says, okay, great. Now you take this and do this. Now, this is a dynamic that I only know to be true in the realm of the Spirit, and it's a God thing. It just works this way. It's a kingdom deal. It's just the way God's economy works. Everybody can sit around and punch their calculator and go, it just doesn't work. I don't know what to tell you. It does. In the Lord, it does work. God just has a wonderful way of putting things together and making things happen. The disciples taken this, they distributed it, and the disciples gave it out to those people who are sitting around, and the fish they did the same thing with, as much as they wanted. In the feeding, God just gave in abundance. There was just plenty to go around. There was no limited amount. It was just abundance. And therefore, they gathered up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments. You know, you kind of wonder about some little things sometimes. You ever think about the 12 baskets? You know, there's these 12 disciples and their 12 baskets. Can you imagine if you were one of the disciples and you were, you're just kind of along for the ride. You'd be thinking the same thing. Andrew just went ahead and said it, what everybody else was thinking. What are these among so many? You know, he just was the mouthpiece. They're all thinking the same thing, you know, waiting to kind of figure out, well, I wonder how this is going to go. But he went ahead and said it, and Everybody got to gather up these fragments in 12 baskets. And this was from the 5 barley loaves and the fish. And this is after everybody had eaten and they were filled to the max. They were completely maxed out. They gather these fragments up and there's nothing. It says, so that when they were filled, he said to the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. When God doesn't waste anything, they gather up all these fragments, and can you imagine looking at these heaping baskets of leftovers, and every disciple's got to look at the same his own basket in front of them, thinking, yeah, we agreed with Andrew. What are these among so many? And look at what God does. What a statement of faith. God, Jesus just said, trust me. Trust me. What a statement of faith.
Thank you so much for listening today. This is Pastor Jim, and I'm really blessed that you've tuned in, and I hope that God's really doing a fresh new work in your life. And oftentimes, when we hear messages like today's message, the Lord starts to tug on our hearts, and he wants to hear from us. He wants our response, and that's just a prayer, a simple prayer of faith. And maybe you just need to get right with God. Maybe you need to repent and turn your life back over to the Lord. Maybe you just need to give your life to Jesus, and you've never done that before. This is your time. This is your opportunity. God's word goes out, and he's making himself known, and he wants you to live and have everlasting life. Incline your ear and come to him. And so Jesus is calling out to you, and it's your opportunity to respond and call back to him and just open that door in your heart. It's a simple response in prayer. It doesn't matter where you are or what you're doing. If you just pray this simple prayer of faith, God will come into your life and make your heart his home. Jesus, I ask that you would do just that. Make my heart your home, that you would come in and forgive me of my sin. I want to ask you to be my personal Lord and Savior. I know this isn't about religion. It's about a relationship, and I want to start that relationship. You're calling out to me. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. I'm in need of spiritual help, and so I'm calling out to you, God, asking that you would help me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for making yourself known to me. And Lord, I just want to receive that gift of everlasting life. I want to thank you for it right now. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. If you'd like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. And you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/CalvaryChapelKC. Also, Living Fountains podcasts are available in the iTunes Store, and you can download them at no cost. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, we meet in Overland Park on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. The service times and directions can be found on calvarychapelkc.com, or you can simply contact the church office at 913-681-1635. It's been great spending time with you in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains. Jesus, God.